You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Your come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. We are thrilled that you're joining us today and delighted to have an exceptional guest. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are super excited about today's show. We'll ask our guest, will you please introduce yourself to us and tell us what you want us to know about you?
Yes. Hi, how you doing there, Doctor? This is John Lambert. And I'm the owner of Alpha Protection Systems. We have an electronic security company, and we specialize in doing alarm systems of all types that's protecting your home or your business. And additionally, we actually do a lot of computer repair also because of the changes that have made where most of this technology is more computer-based these days. So that's kind of a summary of what we do.
Great. And if someone wanted to contact you to do that, how would they?
Sure, you'd reach us at 614 by phone, 614-236-3310. And if you want to reach us by email, it would be at alphaprotection@yahoo.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, there's so much I want to learn from you today, because I really believe technology is not the future, it's the now.
Yes.
How do you feel about computers and technology and the digital age?
You're very, very accurate there, Doctor, in that computers are here to stay. And right now, any young person, really even seniors, you've got to embrace them. And you don't have to know everything about a computer. You need to begin to use it like other tools that you use that are around you. Use them where they help you and enhance your life. And I think if people begin to approach computers like that, they'll be able to more integrate them into your life. But you're very accurate. They're here to stay. There's very few things you can do today if you don't have a computer. You know, if you need to make an airline reservation, you're going to either have to do it yourself or have a friend do it for you. So no escaping it at all, Doctor. No escaping. Mm.
Even to apply for a job, right? Or
absolutely.
Everything.
Any young, everything. It's so interesting you brought that up. I've had several young people come to my office out of the community here. Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting to see how excited they get when they come into this office and they see these cameras or these computers. I've had a young man in here. He's 19, graduated. He's been in here for a month right now.
Wow.
The surprising thing, Doctor, was that as I began to try to teach him on how to repair computers, it became apparent to me that he really did not know how to use computers. This disappointed me because the terminology and the words he were using, they were not correct or accurate. But for me, you know, God is good the way things happen. It allowed me to adjust my training, and I was able to get him there. So now he's very good. He's good at repairing computers, very confident. He'll be coming a little bit later on today. And that's a great point you make. They're here to stay, and I'm not sure that we have all come to understand that totally right now.
Right.
You know. That...
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. First of all, thank you so much. I hope someone has said thank you to you to be a mentor and a leader in this area. But just in case they haven't, thank you. I'll give you your flowers now and say thank you very much for taking some leadership with these young people.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate that. And it's a pleasure. Like I say, someone did the same for me, you know, when I was So we probably all can remember mentors or adults that changed your life. You know, I was very fortunate to have an electronics teacher, and the very first I got was in junior high school in the inner cities of Columbus, Ohio. You wouldn't have thought that was possible, but it was a black teacher, and I took him for 2 years. Not knowing that I would eventually just fall in love with electronics. And when I went to high school, I ran into a second teacher, and he was the key, Mr. Peach. And I took him for 3 years. And once I started, I actually shared my experience with the other students, and everybody began taking electronics. And the technology is really good. I love how it's true to whoever studies it. You know, if you study it, you know, you won't be discriminated against or anything like that with technology. Because it doesn't see you, and when you work hard and you get it right, it just works. I built a lot of circuits, you know, as a young person, because I just wanted to, and it helped me develop my skills.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, there's so much in what you're saying that I want to make sure we touch on. But we have a lot of homeschoolers who listen to this show.
Oh.
We have friends who listen to this show in 160 countries and all 50 states, and we have beautiful college students, wonderful college students, and we have also classes, you know, public school classes, private school classes, who use this program as part of their curriculum. And so this is a wonderful time for you to speak directly to our young people about technology and about what it means and how they can incorporate it into their future.
Wow. That is beautiful. Yeah, you got me excited now. Yeah, because, you know, I'm almost 70 at this point, so... I was a kid at one time, but even the young man that's in my office right now at 19, what helps him is when I'm able to share with him the experiences that I went through.
Yeah.
So that they're not alone, and, you know, when they're not confident, you know, with this young man that's in the office right now, there's a period of time when you teach them that they're very unconfident, no confidence, and almost afraid to speak, you know. So you have to take time, and that's what I do is share with them that I had that same experience as a young person growing up. I remember being in high school and not knowing exactly which course to take or what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And but luckily, I would share to your audience, you ought to encourage young people to try a lot of things. I did that in high school. I tried the wood shop. I tried the metal shop. I looked at science. You need to try a lot of things, and eventually things will click with you, maybe more than one. So that's kind of how it worked for me. I would say to the teachers, you need to keep your eyes open for when you see a young person gravitating toward a thing, and you can always tell when it's there, because we used to want to stay after class in electronics. If we had a study hall coming up, we begged that teacher, could we just stay here? We just have a study hall. We want to stay in your class. Now, can you imagine young people asking to stay in the class when you can go to study hall and kind of goof off? So that's how technology excites young people. And I'll just share with your listeners, if you want to, it's not for all kids, just don't get it wrong. But for those kids that like technology, I'd have to throw them out of my office once they're in here. Then I have to go, then I've got to go home.
Wow. Oh, that is really powerful. You know, one of the things I love about technology, and I have a liberal arts background, right?
Beautiful.
And yet I love technology because I feel like a cyborg. It gives me superpowers. I can do more things using technology than without
that.
It. And when I went to, I had the privilege of going to coding camp.
Okay.
And I went and I thought, oh my goodness, this is like amazing, you know. And so many things like that we don't know, like, you know, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to major in this. I've always wanted to be that. But there's a place, I believe, and I want to hear your opinion on this, for technology in every career field, right?
In every field. Did you hit on something interesting right there? I was just saying to this young man the other day, is that what you'll find, say, when we're doing electronics and we're talking about voltages and current and all those things.
Right.
It will begin to apply to things like plumbing in a very strange way because it's science. And so a lot of sciences overlap. And so once a young person can begin to see that he can grasp and control a piece of it, the confidence that radiates from that young person is just impressive. I've seen young people standing in my shop Mm-hmm. After installing something like, and this is kind of technical, like a remote start or a basic alarm system.
Right.
And for the next 10 or 15 minutes, they're sitting there pushing them button, watching it go on and off, recognizing that they did that on their own. And and once again, I can remember as a kid when I built my first circuit, I was not confident that would work. There were definitely several mistakes along the way. Mm-hmm. But as I stuck with it, eventually it worked. And doctor, what really was inspirational is that when adults came and saw what I had done, mm-hmm. they were so complimentary and they were so excited and so proud. And so that put a little pressure on me to, like, not disappoint. You know, so now I want to do the next project, and I want it to be better than the last. And so from that point on, I began to really sign up for any science fair, anything where I could use these skills and explore. And I love when I have a lot of that stuff around my office now. When young people come in, there's a lot of science things on the desktop that I watch which kids are gravitate toward those things. Yeah. And I see how they interact with them, and I can know if I have me a potential young person, you know, that has the patience to stick in here and learn this technology.
Wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful. When you mentioned, there are two things I really want to bring out right now. And mm-hmm. I wonder if you can help us with something that I have seen before.
Okay.
And it's kind of a, I don't know if it's a fear, but it's part of the popular culture.
Okay.
Oh, I just can't. I don't even understand all this technology. Oh, I can't even understand all these computers. Mm. Oh, I like to do things the old-fashioned way or whatever. And there's mm-hmm. almost a resistance among some people. They've already mm-hmm. decided they don't like technology. Then you give them a smart TV for Christmas, and they're like, wow, this is great. You
know? Right, right. Yeah.
So how do we counteract, even when I see some of the young people who like electronics and technology in the digital age, and then people start talking about geeks and nerds, right? So how do we help our young people with some of that popular culture that is anti-intellectual?
Yeah, well, that's a great observation on your point. You know, it's kind of easy for any of us to look at the thing and not quite know what you're looking at. I think that's what happens to some young people. And you begin to think that it's more complicated than it is. I know the young people in the office in the beginning, they're thinking they can break it. You know, you have to get past it. But with my seniors, the ones that I get hooked on computers, the worst way to approach it is to try to teach somebody everything about a computer. There's too much. There's too many windows. It's just overwhelming. So the better approach is to find what somebody likes and show them how the computer can enhance you pursuing what you like. With my older brother, when he was living, and probably when he was in his 70s, I got him hooked on computers. I asked him one day, so what kind of things do you like to explore? He said, I like old cars. I've always liked looking at old cars and seeing things about them. So I said, let me show you what you can do with this tool called Google. I turned him on to Google, and from there, he began to have a great time looking at the old cars, and then you have to learn to use the tools to move around in this world, and that's really all that happens, the virtual world, very similar to the real world, but of course, you know, the desktop is a virtual desktop, and so you have to get people used to using that equipment. So the easiest way is to have the distraction of something that you really want to do that you truly enjoy, because whenever that happens, you're going to be trying to get it done. We have a little laughing thing in the shop here with this last technician. He's 19, and I had to remind him. I said, it's kind of strange that you get kind of frustrated when I'm showing you computers, but the microwave in the back of my shop that you've never seen before, the moment it is lunchtime, you're back there, it's all quiet, you're figuring it out. I'm like, you've got to decide, and I always take that opportunity, if you really like this. I said, don't waste my time. And let's don't waste yours.
Yeah.
You need to take that big, powerful brain you got and apply it to something that interests you. And if you do that, it will reward you. So that's kind of the way I approach it. I try not to force it on people. I try to remind them that if you want to keep doing things the way you always did them, then you need to get a horse. Because the horse was very you can get downtown and get to your parties and everything on a horse, but we're past that. So you have to embrace the new technology, and once again, don't get overwhelmed. You don't have to learn everything, you know. You just go.
Right. That's right. And, it's so amazing, too. Sometimes I think about one of the greatest inspirations for change is love.
Yes.
And I have seen so many people become willing to use computers or upgrade their smartphone or whatever when they had a grandchild.
Yes.
And they want to see pictures and they want to Zoom and they want to, right? They want to be able to video chat, you know?
I've seen people who
Had a long distance boyfriend or girlfriend, and suddenly they're like, hey, I got to figure out this Zoom or this Skype or whatever.
Now they have a purpose. They have something they're trying
right.
to achieve. I'll throw this out to your teachers that are got all those students trying to figure out what to do with themselves.
Yeah.
They could make so much part-time money, and this is crazy. Mm-hmm. If they just took time out, you know, they're experts on their phones, on their Apple phones or their Droid. But how many of us seniors cannot do things on our phone?
Right.
And I said this to a young person one day. I said, do you know if you just took a moment and figured out 10 things that you know we got to know how to do, and you offered to teach seniors that for an hour, they would pay you $15 or $20. You might have 5 or 10 seniors in front of you, be able to help them and make a little money yourself. And very good at it, you know, because all they do is play with their phones all day, but they don't understand how they can market the knowledge that they have by recognizing that there are other people that want to do things with those phones, especially seniors. And then it would be good for the young people also because they learn customer service. You learn how to be patient. You know, it would really be a good interaction. I'd love to see the system begin to use young people to bring the seniors along. I think it could be an interesting relationship.
Oh, that's amazing. When I was in grad school, I started a little business called Grandbaby Tech. And basically, I would teach older people from the res and things like that how to use their phone, you know, like how to send an email. And, you know, grad students never have any money. So it was like, it was a great thing. And I met so many wonderful elders who were so sweet and so kind and loving. And people, you know, they wanted to expand their world, but they had no idea how. And so I love that. Young people, pay attention because this might be your ticket. You know, you're thinking of what to do. This is what you can do. And I love your suggestion for that. And I wonder if there's one other thing that I heard you say a little bit earlier that I am just cheering and clapping and rejoicing that you said it. And it was that technology and computers, it is what it is. It doesn't discriminate. Yeah. And I think for a lot of our people of all diverse backgrounds, regardless of gender, tech, electronics, those are some good spaces for us to be in because you either get the program right or you don't. The computer either works or it doesn't, right?
Right, and when you can solve a problem, people don't care what color you are or any of that nonsense. Like, we heard you're good. Could you do that? I have customers that have been with me for almost as long as I've been in business of all cultures, and nobody can take them away from me. I've heard them say that. Because I have a relationship with them. So technology allows you to create relationships with other people because you can become a resource. And that's what these poor babies are not understanding. They are the link between this technology and for a lot of people. And you don't have to understand all of it. You really can't break it. And like I say, you don't have to be the best of all people because when it's an old thing he used to say, you don't have to outrun the bear. You know, sometimes, you know, outrun some of the other people that are not running that fast. I hate to use that analogy in that regard, but if you will just apply yourself and find some areas of expertise on these great tools, because really they're just tools, and then allow other people to incorporate those tools in their life, they're going to be happy. The tool's not going to discriminate against them, not against you. So, some of this tension we have in the air right now could be eliminated by using technology. I believe that, Doctor, very quickly.
I absolutely do. I absolutely believe that. I agree with you. My granddaddy used to say that when you're born, you're either going to be a problem or you're going to solve problems.
There it is. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? And that's where the monies are made in the capitalistic system. We're problem solvers.
That's right.
And people got to, and you want to be a problem solver, not a problem creator. Unfortunately, right now, a lot of our young people have this awful image that the 14-year-olds that are stealing cars and that type of thing. That image is not the image that we need to go forward about a class of young people. You know, and when you talk to them that have stolen the cars, I've had a couple in the office or I had friends that talk about doing that. There's nothing logical going on there. It's just like nothing else to do. Well, we just decided to take it, you know, and just to drive it around. And that's so sad when they could just use that same time and come in and figure out how to fix a computer or help somebody learn about using computers, make them some money, and eventually buy their own car, you know. But people are lost right now, clear on how America works. They're not clear how to plug in. You know, and then jobs right now, some of them, you need to have a chance of being exposed to it before you can get the job. You need a little bit of internship, you know, or a mentor. And
yes.
We don't as many of those as when I grew up. I'm really fortunate from the era I grew up in because I had both parents and many mentors.
Yes.
many mentors.
Okay, well, let's talk about that a little bit. Because I think there's so many people who do have gifts and talents. There's people who have time. There's people who have education and skills and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough to be a good mentor. What makes a good mentor?
Wow, that's a great question you just asked right there. Woo-wee. I've experienced that in real time, either a mentor or even a good teacher. You know, a good mentor, and Malcolm X kind of said that, you put that information down there where the chickens and the hens can get at it. You got to break the information down very consumable for your students. I've been in situations where people were teaching computers with other professors or instructors, and they spent too much time kind of lightly showing off with these big words or things that people don't need in a practical sense.
So,
yeah, a really good teacher, you're going to look at your students and assess what they need immediately. You know, if I take it back to scripture, before Jesus spoke to the multitude, he fed them. You know, he gave them fish and some bread. So he's taking those immediate needs. So you've got to know who's in front of you, who you're helping, because if you meet them there, now you got somebody that knows that you see them. All right, and now you get to work with them. So with the students that are in here, I always look for that connection, because I can't teach a kid that doesn't want me to help them, but they've got to want my help. And then it's got to be a two-way street. So once we get a clear understanding that we're not playing around in here, I'm not making you learn this. If you want it, you really have to get it. You have work to do.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem. The ones that stay here, they've already made up in their own mind that they want it. So I think as a teacher, you got to present it to them in a way where it's a choice, you know, and a fair choice, a very fair choice, you know, and it works out best that way.
Right. That's absolutely right. And one of the best pieces of advice I ever got, I mean, I've had many, but blessed advice that I really received was that, you know, we always think of mentors as older than we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think in this day and age, everybody needs to have an older, more experienced mentor, maybe with more education or familiarity with the topic. But you also need a younger mentor.
You're so good, doctor. You are so good. In my office, the best days I have in this office is one of my young other mentors comes through the shop, and they run into the students that are in here. It never gets better. I can just go to the back room and do something else, because the ones that have been through it, they know what they're needing, and they're young. So they tell them. The one kid came and told the kid the other day, he said, man, just stick in there. He said, I got through out of here about 5 or 6 times. He said, but it worked out for me, and I need you to understand to stick it through, because that kid that told him that, I was teaching him how to repair computers. When I ran into him downtown, I was downtown at one of the events downtown, and somebody was like, that's my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over and seen this young guy, and I'm like, oh, my God. My little mentee. And he came over, and he was all proud, and he had people around him. He had been very shy before this, and now I'm looking at him. He's the center of attention, got him a little girlfriend with him. And I'm saying, so what are you doing now? And he was like, well, I hope you're not upset with me. He said, I didn't really go to get my degree in repairing computers. He said, but I'm doing cybersecurity, and I'm working $45,000, $50,000. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, you can help me. Now I got somebody to go to get help from. So it works out really good. And like I said, when he came into the office, the young man saw that he was as young, just not much older than a 19-year-old. So, of course, they connect. They connect in places I cannot connect with them. And then when he tells him, hey, the guy was equally as hard on me, and I'm not hard in a nasty way, but I talk to them like my dad talked to me. You know, my dad never played with us. When he told us things, sometimes it would really snap us into attention. We'd be like, wow, what did he just say? And we'd give a chance to sit down and think about it. So I try to do the same with these young people. I try to say things to them that they can use in the real world, in real life. If I see them doing things that are not that smart, I take a moment and explain to them. It's not all technical. And matter of fact, in order to get some of the technical, you got to clean up some other aspects of your life sometime, you know, where you waste time and the people you're hanging out with and how you value your time. So it's not all technical that they get out of here. I would say that to those teachers also. Young people are looking for instructions. And and they don't mind how tough they are, how hard it is they got to do. They are waiting for instructions. So that's the challenge, is to give them something that's meaningful and that they get benefit out of when they're doing it. If you do that, it all pays dividend. It becomes self-actualized. They start doing it on their own, you know, without you having to be there. And that's what I look for in my young people. I need to see them take a computer home with them, not just work on them when you're here. And when you come in the next day, tell me what you discovered on your own while you're messing with your computer or a camera system. Sometimes they want to take my camera systems out of here. They'll see a camera, they'll be all excited, and I'll just find one that's not that maybe current, or give them one and go home and play with it, because that's how it starts. The fire's got to start within. Kind of hard sometimes to start that fire of me from the outside inside a person. But if they got a little flame, I can fan it. I can fan it just enough. Maybe.
That's right. Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, we're all going to do something with our 24 hours every day. It might as well be good something.
How about that?
Yeah, exactly. And so we have to think about it that way. Now, you know, again, there's so much in what you just said. I want to make sure we touch on it. What if we have parents who are listening and they're starting to see that maybe their children are leaning towards STEM or STEAM?
Okay.
They are, you know, the kids that take everything apart to see how it works, right? You know, who want to turn it on and off. And maybe they're already interested in tablets or computers or something like that. How can parents nurture that in small children? Not necessarily, you know, high schoolers or a little bit older, but it from the beginning of our lives.
Yeah.
How can we nurture a love and interest in this particular science?
All right. I'll just relate it to how it happened with me. You know, my dad was a fixer, repair of things, so I like to hang out with him a lot. And I knew that. So some of my earliest memories were one time he was working on the car or something. He said, come on with me, and we're going to work on the car. So we get out there. I'm holding the flashlight. He gives me the flashlight to hold. So I'm holding it, trying to shine it on the work that he's doing. And, of course, I don't know what's going on. I'm just holding this flashlight. And at some point, the light probably drifts off to wherever, because I'm not paying attention. And so he straightens me out. They probably put it where it's at. And so I put that light on it. So now I know that if I don't get it right, he's going to say something to me. So I'm holding the light where it's at. And at some point, he gives me the tool. He says, tighten this up. And I said, okay. I start turning the tool. He said, don't strip it. And I'm like, I stop all of a sudden. I'm like, strip it? What's that? You know, and then he takes his time and explains it to me. So a lot of it is you just have to kind of get involved with it. And once he does that, you know, and I understand how to tighten up a screw, then I have a new feel. So now all I'm going to do is anything I'm working on, I want to take the screws out and put them back. But my point is this: if you pay attention to your kid, you can tell when they're afraid. You can tell when they're curious. You know, you can tell when kids want to hang out with you everywhere you go. I was like that with my dad. So wherever he went, I kind of wanted to be there. And if he was fixing something, I wanted to kind of be a part, you know, if I could. And so he understood that, and he began to feed that. And so consequently, if we'd be out somewhere, I think I was out one day with him shopping, I saw a airplane thing that kind of flew around in circles and landed and whatever. It wasn't super expensive, but he must have recognized that I really wanted that. And I don't know why. And he got it for me. You know, I'll never forget that. I got that home, and I must have played with that over and over again. It was technology, and it probably shaped me to a certain degree. I did a similar thing with my own grandson. I can share that. We took him to a couple of – in Columbus, Ohio has some great places like the Idea Foundry and the Invention Organizations. I took my grandson to a thing – I can't think of the name of it right now. I have to get that to you – that was very science-oriented. We both had a great time. We walked around that thing for several hours, and the results of it, long story short, he calls me a month or so ago, and he says, hey, Paul, I got a TV. I want to repair it. If you can give me a hand, I'm like, yeah, I can help you with that. Then the next thing he says, I'm studying aerospace engineering at high school. Wow. I'm like, you're doing what? that comes from just going to those events, allowing him to see it, letting him talk to other people, asking questions, asking me questions. When we're riding in the car, we're having discussions about things that are going around. It's just like I did with my dad. And when I see things, I ask the question. And if you've got the right mentor or a parent around you, they'll either have the answer or take you somewhere to get that answer. Mm-hmm. Because a kid's mind kind of focuses on things. And once it's there, you just want to know. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever driven down, been in a car, and you're riding down the road, and you look ahead, and you see it looks like waves were coming off the highway.
Yeah.
As I kid, that used to happen, and I was with my dad one day. I said, "Dad, what is that? What is that?" Because I didn't know what I was looking at. When he explained to me that he knew what it was, I was so impressed. I wanted to be smart like him. And for anybody who's ever seen that, it's actually the heat. It is the heat coming off of the pavement, mm-hmm. and as that heat rises, it distorts the light waves. So it looks like the road is kind of wiggling, you know. So you just got to pay attention as a parent or a teacher to your young people and understand what's got their curiosity, and if it's possible, feed it.
Yes, well said. We have to go to commercial for just a minute, pay a few bills, but when we come back, I'm really excited to find out even more about your suggestions for guiding our young people and ways in which all of us can improve our relationship with technology. So, folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
We are strong and we'll get through this together, but these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope, furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Most teens who drink alcohol get it from family and friends, but providing alcohol to teens is unsafe, illegal, and irresponsible. Find out more. Visit don'tserveteens.gov. That's don'tserveteens.gov. A message from the Federal Trade Commission and this station.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, and never look back, what's the world forgave?
We are really enjoying our program today. We're enjoying a visit with a truly dynamic guest. Would you please reintroduce yourself to all of us?
Absolutely. This is John Lambert with Alpha Protection Systems. And we do alarm systems as well as computer repair here in Columbus, Ohio. Over 50 years in business.
Wow, congratulations. That's quite a milestone accomplishment. And tell us again, how would someone connect with you, learn from you, perhaps, who knows? I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Absolutely. You can reach us by phone at 614-236-3310. And then you could reach us by the internet, by alphaprotection@yahoo.com.
Perfect. All right. That's awesome. That's terrific. I would be so honored if you would share with us your journey into this field. How did you start, and how did you pursue your education, and how did you come to be doing what you're doing now?
Wow, that's a great question. I was very fortunate, I can say, when I was in high school, to have a really good electronics teacher. And I always say to all the students, if you found yourself a really good teacher that sees you and gravitates towards you, you need to make sure that you stay close to them.
Mm-hmm.
That little teacher inspired and took care of me so well. And I'll tell you this story. It was amazing to me when I only found it out later on after I benefited from it. I was his best student. I didn't necessarily strive to be his best student. I just liked electronics. And to me, he made it easy for me to understand. There came a time when a scholarship came available to work either at Bell Labs or Ohio Bell. I don't know nothing about this. I'm just minding my own business. One day, the teacher calls me and says, I need you to come to my class, John, so I can talk to you. I go in there. I know I'm not in trouble because I wasn't that kind of kid. I never got into trouble. So I get there. He says, listen, the counselor has just informed me that they've got two summer employment opportunities at Bell Labs in Ohio Bell. Mm. And he says he had picked two other students, and they happened to be, you know, they weren't African-American students of color. But he said, and he's a white teacher, he said, but you're my best student. So I don't know. He didn't use racism or no discussion like that. Mm. He just said, so I'm going to let you have the choice, and I'll give the other one to the other student. He named the other students. Mm. So by him interceding, that's how I got that first break to work at Bell Laboratories. And then from there, I met other engineers and got a really strong foothold into engineering because, of course, once you're working at a place like Bell Labs, mm-hmm. the amount of respect you get from even from community, people are very impressed that you're there. So there's right. that pressure again to try to do good. The short story about me in the business, though, once I got there, I hung in there as best I could. You know, it's a good job to work and to learn from. But the times were, they were using set-aside laws. And so some of the people were not excited about us being there. So long story short, at one point, I got broken into at my house. I was minding my own business at work.
Oh,
and
wow.
they break in, steal all my stereo equipment. I get home, I'm in shock. And I'm like, wow, they only left these big speakers I had. So I built my first alarm system. I said, I need an alarm system. So mm-hmm. I built myself a very basic alarm system, you know, nothing complicated, because that emotionally moved me so tough that I had to do something. Then I built one for somebody else, and I think I might have tried to build another one, and that's when it hit me. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, I've got this skill set, and if I'm really going to enjoy this beautiful opportunity of being in America, you got to give it a shot. You know, I'm thinking to myself, I just talked to my dad about it. And I was scared about that. I was like, I got to go to my dad and tell him, hey, Dad, I am thinking about starting a business. I said, I wonder what he's going to say. He's probably going to think I'm crazy and you can't do it. I'm thinking all those things, doctor. And I said it to him. I'm like, Dad, I think I got broken into. I'm going to try to maybe start a security company. I don't know nothing about a security company. He says to me, you're going to learn a lot. And that's how it got started. By him saying that, that gave me the confidence to give it a try. And so the rest is history. We just got out here and got at it. You know, we're not perfect at it, but we've been in here for 50 years. I've got a pretty strong customer base, and plus it's like going to college. So mm-hmm. a lot of this I've learned over time. I've been able to share it with other people. And so it's been a great journey. Let me put it like that. It's been a super journey. And just as my dad said, I have learned so much. You know, and I can actually help other people right now. And when you think about it, as we started this conversation, it's about problem solving. So I think I'm very successful because I'm able to solve the security problems. And at the same token, help some of these young people get a skill set and to have them come back and thank me for helping them get their careers together. That's how it started, where it is right now, just helping solve problems wherever we can solve them.
Oh, I love it. That is amazing. What do you wish you had known then that you know now?
Wow, that's an excellent question. Yeah, I had a regret. I used to go, what is my only regret? I'm like, I wish I would have started earlier. I mm-hmm. wish I would have started my business attempts right out of high school. And then the second thing I would have probably studied, I love electronics, and I got my degree in electronics, but I think everybody might want to get a degree or at least get exposure to marketing. because we live in a narcissistic society. And if you don't understand that science, you struggle for a while, you know? Yes. And you look at what's going on right now with technology, all the people making money off of the internet.
Yes.
Whoa, to have a marketing degree or marketing understanding right now. Any of your young people listening right now, if you can't figure out a way to make a little bit of money out of what's going on right now, you're probably not using your time wisely. As the doctor said earlier, there's 24 hours in a day. You need about eight of them. You need about eight of them to do your work. And you got eight of them to have some fun or to learn and improve yourself. I would use some of that time to look at this beautiful opportunity you have in front of you right now, because people are making money doing some of the craziest things,
right.
Even things
yeah.
just post on the internet. Mm-hmm. But if you take your time and maybe get with some of your friends or associates that are also like-minded, I think you can find your way. Even if you didn't get a job from anybody, there's nothing wrong with working a job, and I've never been negative against jobs, but America is free enterprise. When they talk about freedom in America, freedom, mm-hmm. freedom, freedom, the real free in this country is free enterprise. You're allowed to sell just about anything. And the warning they put out is, buyer, beware.
Wow, that's powerful. And, you know, I think, too, one of the things we have to think about is community. You know, maybe someone doesn't have a marketing degree, but they got
yes.
a friend that does. You know, I think we have to start thinking in terms of shared community and shared, you know, what do I know and what do you know and what do they know and what, you know, and let's see if we can all work together too, because that's a great point that you're making, that this is interdisciplinary, that you need all yeah. of it in order to really make the most of it. So let's talk for a minute about our friends who are listening, who are perhaps, maybe they're mid-career, maybe they're looking for a new job. The economy mm-hmm. has been amazingly strange for a lot of people and all of that. And maybe they're thinking, okay, they're in the middle, let's say. They're not necessarily just starting out their career, and they're maybe not seniors who are retiring or whatever, but they're people who need to keep going to work and need to keep getting paid. What would you
yeah.
say to those folks about tech and about science and about all of these good things?
Yeah, you're in a great time because you have such great tools. You know, we're tool-using creatures. And if we get the right tools, you can get things done. Of course, you can get things done with the wrong tools, but it's super hard, you know, to drive or, you know, if you don't use the right screwdriver. So the tools around you, you need to get familiar with them. Google is a great tool. If you look at Google, it's kind of a guessing tool, but what a great guesser. So if you learn to guess correctly yourself, my goodness, you can find out information. We used to be so excited when we had a set of encyclopedias in the house. And when you think about how limited a set of encyclopedias are compared to Google, are you kidding me? I mean, I would be so disappointed once I'd open up that encyclopedia and maybe read a paragraph or two about what I'm trying to study, as opposed to today, not only do you have Google, the other tool is the YouTube. On YouTube, you have that have knowledge, and they put it up. So I use YouTube almost daily in problem solving once again. And what I would do with YouTube, depending on the problem I'm trying to solve, if it's something that's not a big deal, I might look for a 5 or 10 minute one to see if there's some solutions. But if it's something I really want, I don't care if that YouTube video is hours long. I'm going to take time and set it down. And typically, when you find the right one, the right instructor there, they will make it so simple. You'll be so happy you stopped in. So I would say, okay, young people that, and seniors that are trying to get a maybe second career, use that tool. Never have you had such a great tool. Instantly, you can experience, you know, what a job kind of is like. Get a feel for what they do, and maybe see an angle that other people haven't seen. You know, so yeah, I would use the tools. I would tell anybody out there, get you a computer. And begin to learn to use the tools for searching and finding out things and networking.
I'm really glad you said that. I had the chance to do some user experience research for a company that is for job seekers to seek for a new job or whatever. And over and over again, we heard from the people posting jobs that the deal breaker, like, in other words, if you had two candidates who were fantastic, all things being equal, the one thing that got one person chosen over another was surprisingly not their degree or their education.
Uh-huh.
It was if they were already competent at using technology.
There we go. On the,
Because if they could use the technology, then we can teach them everything else, right? You can teach them about the business. You could teach them a lot of other things. Or they could come into the office and start working. But if they don't know technology, it's almost like they have to be trained in it and catch up and get ready. And then these employers over and over again said that was the difference. If they were good with technology, then we can figure out what else to teach them or how else to help them fit in the corporate culture. But if they didn't have any technical background or skills, it was like, oh, no, no matter how nice or educated or anything else they were. So it's amazing what you're saying, because right now, if I was giving advice to a job seeker, that's what I'd say, exactly what you said, that, you know, get those technical skills together, because you can learn about everything else, but have that ready and get ready to go.
Yeah, and I would just interject, don't allow the fun stuff that's like the Facebook, the TikTok, be careful on that rabbit hole too deep. Because what you'll see right now, and I'll say this, hopefully the young people are listening, some of that tends to make you super emotional. You get all excited about things, upset about them, or maybe too excited. Mm-hmm. Technology actually works best when you kind of control your emotions. Computers, things don't care if you're excited or in a hurry or mad, angry. They just don't care. Mm-hmm. All they want to do is get things right. When you put things in the right place, the program has been designed correctly, it works for you. So technology begins to calm young people. That's the other thing, the reason I like about it. I sit there in the office that I remind them, the equipment doesn't care that you're guessing and that you don't care about studying. Like, we're going to both be stuck here, I said, for 2 days, because you're not helping the computer. And I'll say it out loud, the computer's really stupid on that side. If you're thinking that it's smart, it is not. Mm-hmm. It is fast. A computer is really very fast at retrieving information and completing formulas. It's not that smart, and I want to make clarity on that. It requires us to use that information that pops in front of you to put it to practical use. The computer is guessing. I think this is what you want, and it might give you 5 or 6 of them or 8 or 9 of them, but you still have to be there. So I teach my young people, you're helping the computer. And we have a little fun thing we do in the office here. I'm like, if you want to be a technician on this side of the table, then you've got to apply yourself. I said, otherwise, I'm going to send you to the customer side where they don't have to know. They're paying you to know. I said, so what side of the table do you want to be on? And so they insist on getting on this side. And the thing I've been saying to them lately that I see catches their attention, after I've got them to learn something like cleaning computers, I have to remind them. I said, do you know you now have knowledge? You can clean computers. And I said, this other little thing I just showed you, maybe 5% of the people on the planet can do that. I said, so you got to look at this a little different than you're looking at it. I said, you're in a great spot now. You're in my office. I'm not the smartest human on the planet. I said, but you could actually be smarter than me, but you're in my presence where you can learn some things. And once again, you don't have to outrun the bear. That there'll be enough other people running. If you can just stay ahead of them, you're going to be okay.
As you were speaking, there is something that I want to make sure we do talk about, too, because there's an intimidation sometimes among new users of anything, right?
Yes.
I mean, there are people who thought the encyclopedia was too hard to read. There's always kind of an intimidation factor to some people for anything new or different or scientific or mathematical, right, or technological.
Yes.
And one place that really hits, I see, is our seniors.
So,
do we, as younger people, guide or maybe encourage or sort of be good cheerleaders for our seniors as they start to use it?
That's why you're the doctor. That's a great question. And seniors have helped me answer that question better. I was teaching some seniors one day some things about computer, and I called the lady to give her a little lesson, and she was like, it's too late. You know, I'm not in that mood. And I said, that's powerful. So the main thing for all of us, me included, when you're going to learn, you need to be in that frame of mind. If you're tired or exhausted, computers take a certain level of patience. And we all need patience, so that's the other good thing about messing with them. But if it's a day that you're not feeling particularly patient, I would walk away. I do it every day. I've been in technology for a long day. Some days I'm way better than others. You know, some days I'm really, really clicking, And then other days, I'm not quite there. So it is okay to take a break, you know, some time, let your brain kind of come back together and approach it when you're in the right mood. Do it with a friend. I've enjoyed that before, having someone else that's equally trying to learn, because now you're both learning. You're going back and forth. So I would say it like that. And then once again, you can't be disgusted because you don't learn a thing the first time. You know, sometimes you just get bits and pieces. It's like playing get on first base. You don't have to hit a home run every time, you know, and if you get on first base, you might be able to steal second, you know, but you just have to at least get in the game and begin learning a little bit at a time. And that, most importantly, is surround yourself with people that see you and that are willing to help you. And once again, not be disappointed. I've had people I've asked to help me learn electronics before, and they said no, you know, they didn't have the time or whatever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't stop me from asking the next person. I went on and on until I find someone to say, yeah, sit down, young man. I sit down, and the rest is history. You get explanation from people. So just don't give up. You know, the world is really more of a friendlier place than you think. That's why I don't want them to get too much on Facebook, fighting your friends and arguing back and forth. We should try to make more allies than enemies, you know, people that we can work with. And I think if you approach life like that, you'll find commonalities with people that you didn't even think you could have be in common with, you know.
I like the wonderful way you're looking at this, too. And I wonder, too, if sometimes one time I asked my brother, I was talking to him about a really deep problem that I thought I was having, you know, like this is a big deal to me. And I was very emotional about it, but he wasn't. He just listened, you know, and I told him, and I thought, okay, now he's going to really, you know, see what I'm saying. And he said, well, how do you eat a whale? What? I said, what? I mean, and he said it really logically. I was like, but I'm telling you this very dramatic and important problem here, you know, and he said, how do you eat a whale? And I said, I don't know. And he said, one bite at a time. Now, I'm saying that so often I think people think that, oh, I've just got to be completely computer literate by Friday. You know, I've got to be great at this. I've got to be able to do everything that it is. And yet, one of the greatest and sweetest success stories I ever heard with helping our seniors to embrace technology was a wonderful cousin of mine who gave his elderly mother a kid's tablet from Amazon.
Wow.
Yeah. Really big icons on it, right? Yeah. Google was, you know, it's easy to search, really super easy, you know. It's like, and she loved it because she wanted to see Facebook and she wanted to see all her grandchildren all over the country. And then she's like, okay, I've mastered that. And then now she uses a laptop, like, you know, just
one more. Yeah, I want more. Once you get a little bit, you typically want more. And so that's what I understand, and those really good teachers, they're good at that. The electronics teacher I had, he was excellent at that. I wish I would have had, I wanted to share that with the students also, a math teacher that was, I never connected with a math teacher that was strong. So I struggled with math, and then I have one of my friends talk, oh, it's so easy. But once again, sometimes you need to run into that right instructor, you know, that helps break it down for you. My electronics teacher, he was that for me. So, because the electronics is second nature to me, I can wire just about whatever, and I have no fear of it. But I'll tell all them young people, get that math. Had I had that skill, that allowed me to design more. So I still strive to do better on the math side. But once again, you don't have to learn everything. Make sure you're learning something and learn it as best you can. Get it down. You know, I always kid, like, if you're the person flipping French fries, even at the store, be the best.
Yeah.
Do it so well that everybody recognizes that you're good at a thing, and it will pay dividends for you. You know, you don't have to necessarily be flipping French fries, but right now I don't see young people applying themselves sometimes to really become really good at something. The generation I come from, we kind of pushed each other. Like I said, if I build a circuit, my partners would try to build that same circuit, or they would challenge me to build this circuit. And your brother was that way. You know, me and him had technical, we both embraced technology. So there were times when we pushed each other, you know, never in any way, but we'd be like, hey, do you know this? Had you seen this?
Uh-huh.
And, but when you have connections like that, that makes you feel like you're not alone. You know, you have somebody you can have a conversation with that values what you value. Yeah, so.
Yes. And I really want to bring that out a little bit too, because I believe that life is a circle and that we're all connected. And yeah. One of the things that I see a lot of times is people are limiting their connections to their community.
Yes.
And sometimes your connections are not in your neighborhood or at the same school. Maybe you'll have to reach out a little bit, or you'll have to expand a little bit. Maybe it'll be someone from a different ethnic background or a different age group. You know, and so let's take that as our actionable step. I mean, that's how we get to a goal, right? We take the smallest actionable step and do it. Actually do it. For some of us, that's it, you know. Expand your community. I mean, and that is one place where, you know, social media is good, can be good if you follow the right people and pay attention to the right people. Sometimes, you know, we have to think differently. If everyone around you is like, I don't care about computers, well, there guess what? There's a whole world full of people, and I'm waving at all our friends in 160 countries. And there's a whole world full of people who care about computers. You know?
There you go.
So we got to find our people, and we've got to connect with them. So what do you think about that, building our own community?
Oh, I think that's the key. I think that's the whole key. And then all communities, we can come together.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I live by. I love my customers are like my community right now. They call me and we're family. We don't all just to talk about technical things. We talk about a lot of things, the election thing. And it's a multicultural community for me, like I say. So, and the beauty about business is that you're creating relationships where you're solving problems. And who's not going to remember you when you solve a problem for them or you've made life easy for them? So if I could say anything to the young people, become a problem solver and help people solve problems, and then work hard to solve your own problems. Work at it, you know, and don't get so caught up in all that emotional stuff. I really want to see the young people get away from so much emotional stuff. You know, control your emotions. Emotions are a great thing, but they shouldn't control you. You know, you don't want to have your frontal cortex hijacked at a very important time.
And that's something that I don't hear a lot of people saying. I honestly don't. I don't hear people saying balance is the key.
Yeah, balance is the key. It allows you to, especially with technology, when I get the young people to calm down, that's when the learning begins to happen. The fear can't be there, can't be playing too much. You have to kind of get your mind in a kind of a calm place. And with seniors also, like I say, if they're tired or they're sleepy, it's not a good time for learning. You know when you're open to learning. And when that happens, you need to hit it and get what you can get and then be ready to get on first base. And when you come around, you turn the bat again, work to get on second, you know, whatever you have to do. So, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That reminds me of something else my granddaddy said one time about, you know, you don't have to play 9-inning games or 4-quarter games. You can play till you win.
Can't get no better than that, Dr. Pettigrew. Can't get no better than that. That's reality. Hey.
Well, I want to make sure that folks who want to connect with you, you know, we have amazing people in the community. We have amazing people all over the world who share time with this show, and we're so grateful for them. But who knows? That we just talked about connections, and we never know what comes from connecting and networking and building community. So please remind us again exactly how we can connect with you. Someone might need to come get something repaired even. We never know. So would you tell us again how we can contact you?
Absolutely. You can reach me on my phone at 614-236-3310. And on the email, you'll be able to reach us at alphaprotection@yahoo.com. And I just want to thank you for what you do. You know, I mean, I love the way your program runs. You provide so much information, and you ask really great questions. That allowed me to really share a lot that I was looking forward to sharing. I wasn't sure what direction this was going to go, but I was confident it was going to be great working with you. So I appreciate
it. Well, all glory to God, and thanks so much for being part of this with us today. I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate our friends who make this show possible. It's a labor of love. And I want to say thank you to our donors, our sponsors, this network, our friends who listen, our friends who share, our friends who volunteer, who make this possible. Everyone who's ever done anything kind and good for me, including you, Mr. John Lambert, thank you. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And I'm really glad you did it because we got to have this conversation. Thank you, and thank you to all our friends. I can't wait till our next episode. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.